Okay, Boker Tov, good morning. We are continuing Daf Samech Aleph. Today's Daf is Daf 61. We left off towards the bottom of the page on 60b, Samech Amud Bet. About 4 or 5 lines into the long lines. Today's class should be for the Refu'ah Shalom Abba L'Chonim V'Rifladam Chanidah Barachah V'Echad Jana Mechon Mekam V'Nifkas Arba Nenim Shalom Masara Tavir Ben Rachel Yafah Bador Rifka Badachah V'Rifka 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 יבודה מניפח חייס בתפון רחל מחנה עשר מחם בן מלכה מרים עד אחוי ודאז בן מרים חנה לא ידעו מתאום מלכה עשר ודמר עשר וחנה גבר גדבר ברכה תן בן עשר נצחה מולדי יעקודם בן מלכה עשר ונתה בן מלכה יוסף בן דנם של משום פנינה יוסף בן יפה דניאם בן דינה שמחה בן אפרה בן מרקד בן בדליה כתב שבן כיבר כזה דינה בגלל בן מרים קבל ישום בן החמה חנמה קד עשר הרב שלום בן משם סימן חנדה בן יבן נפקה ליאנה שרה בת שושנה חנדושן בן בת יוש... No, וגם להבדיל לנשמת דוד בן אליהו בן אמין בן ישראל אליהו דינה בן אפרים שמעון בן ישראל בן נמקן בדן בועז בן אברהם דינה בת אהרון תמר ברכה בת אברהם משה בן רפאל חדושה בת ישעיה הכהן יוסף חיים בן משה להבדיל רעיון דבורה בת בן אליהו. תודה רבה. Thank you. Okay, somebody asked for it yesterday, asked for Zoom. I said we're in 54. I don't know the password for the tablet and stuff like that.
Okay, I know.
We are 4 lines down in the long lines on Samech Amud Bet 60B. Today's Dav is Dav Samech Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan. First word on the line is Avdei Nashei. Right, we said that women do not strangle their own children. And now the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Baraita. It's very interesting. Dav today is a lot of Agadita, a lot of stories. Haresh Natnu La Ben Lahanik. If they give a woman a son to breastfeed, Hareze lo tanik imo lo bena velo ben chaverta. She should not breastfeed her son with this child while breastfeeding this child and another child or another child. She should do one child only. Paska kima. If let's say they make the woman is giving her this son to breastfeed, you get a contract. And the contract says, we're going to give you X amount of food. And it was only a little bit. It wasn't a lot of food. Ochelet harbe. She eats a lot of food. She shouldn't only eat a little bit. Why? To make sure so that she has enough to be able to support the child, enough milk to be able to support the child. Lo tochal imo devarim haraim lechalav. And she should not eat things that are not good while breastfeeding, so they, God forbid, don't cause anything bad to the child that she's breastfeeding. Hashta, so the Gemara comes and says, Bina amart lo. You said that one should not breastfeed one's son while...
Can you log in?
Just leave it, it's okay. Whoever is not in person misses out. Ashta bina amart lo. A person who is... the son you should not breastfeed while breastfeeding another child. Ben chavrata mibaya. Do you even need to ask about another person's son? So the Gemara says, Ma'u detema, I would have thought to say, Bina hu dechais ilave. Maybe one's own son, you have more mercy on. Mimatziya leitfe. So you're going to give your own son more milk, and then you're not going to have enough for the one you signed the contract for. Aval ben chavirta, but the one, your friend's son, ilav dehava la motar. If you didn't have extra milk, lohava mimatziya le. You wouldn't give milk, and take away from the son you contracted with. So therefore, since I would have thought maybe you would not have done that, that's why the Gemara is bringing this chidush of even once ben chavirta, even a son of another person, kamashmala, and comes to teach us you're not allowed to breastfeed while you're in a contract with this other child that you're breastfeeding. Okay, paska kima ochelet harbe. We said she's contracted to receive a little bit of food. She can eat a lot of food. So the Gemara says, Mehecha, where does she get this extra food from? So Amara Sheshat Mishela, it comes from her own. She didn't get signed the contract to receive a lot of food, so she has to give herself from her own. She has to give the rest of the food in order to support the child. Lo tochal imo dvarim haraim. Then we said she should not eat while breastfeeding these bad things. So my ninhu, what are these bad things? Amar Rav Kahana, kegon keshut, v'chaziz, v'dagim ketanim v'adama. Hops, chaziz, Rashi says, is like a type of asavim shel zera tivua. Comes from like the wheat, the thing that grows from the wheat. So the wheats that grow, it's like the asavim from the zera of the tivua, from the seeds of the wheat that grows. Those are not good. Vidagim ketanim, samal fish. Right, nowadays also, I guess we say a woman who's pregnant, she should not eat like raw fish. But I guess breastfeeding, she shouldn't have small fish. And earth, she should not eat any type of earth or dirt that is not good for the child. So the Gemara says, Abaye amar, Abaye says, afilu kara vechavusha. Even, let's say, squash or quince are not so great for the breastfeeding of a child. We're at the last few lines on 60B. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says, Afilu kara vekufera. He says, even a, you know, this squash or gourd, and Rashi says, kufara, Rashi says, yeah, tamarim bekatnutan. It's a date that's in its small stages. I mean, it's not fully ripe yet. So those are also not good for a woman breastfeeding. Rav Ashi Amar, Afilu kimcha veharsena. Even, Rashi says, kimcha kotach, this dairy dip, and harsena is like a type of fish they used to fry with some breadcrumbs they would put on it. I guess today it would be like a schnitzel type of fish. Those are not good as well. So the Gemara then says, minau paskei chalba, uminayu achrei chalba. Some of these things we mentioned, they cause the milk to stop. Some of these things cause the milk to go bad. Okay, now that we're on this topic of like breastfeeding and children, so the Gemara is going to bring many different ideas of someone who has relations in certain situations where it would not be good for the child. Someone who has relations by the by where the millstone is, like where they grind, where the mill is, so his children, God forbid, will come out epileptic. Someone has relations on the ground, havulahu b'nei shamute, would have children with long necks, elongated necks. Didarcha al rema de chamra. If the woman walks on, let's say, excrement of a chamor, havulu b'nei girdane, will have children that are girdane. Rashi says that their hairs fall out. De achla chardela, woman who eats like mustard, havulu b'nei zalzalane, will have children that are ravtanim, they are gluttons. The achlat tachale, a woman who eats cress, havalu bene dulfane, will have children that are always the eyes are always shedding tears, they're always dripping from with water. The achlat munyane, a woman who eats munyane, Rashi says hurgela lechol dagim ketanim, if she gets used to eating small fish, so havalu bene metzitze eina, will have children who have eyes that are very like choppy eyes, top of like fluttering eyes that aren't so like 100% straight. But then the Gemara says, "The achla gargushta havelu b'nei mechore." Somebody who eats earth will have ugly children. The shatya shichra, someone who eats beer, drinks beer rather, havelu b'nei uchme, will have dark children. Right? So you see all the. No need to be said. Okay? The achlab bisra uveshatya chamra, someone who eats meat and wine, havalu bene barye, will have healthy children, right? It's good to have meat and wine. Those are good things. The achlab be'e, a woman who eats eggs, havalu bene and nene, will have kids with big eyes, right? The achlab kavare, someone who eats fish, a woman who eats fish, havalu bene chinane, will have children that are ba'ale chen, they find favor in people's eyes. The achla karpesa, someone who eats celery, karpas, havalu bene zivtane, will have children that are glowing. The achla kusbarta, someone who eats kusbar is a coriander, havala bene bisrane, will have fat children. The achla etroga, a woman who eats an etrog,
which is a good thing apparently, right?
Yeah. Right, nachon. In those days, it was good for them to be heavier
and healthy.
Nachon. The achla etroga, a woman who eats etrog, havalu bnei rechane, will have good fragrant smelling children. Okay, these are all the different types of things that these are during breastfeeding.
Breastfeeding,
right? I mean, it sounds like actually that it's like someone who eats these things in general will just have these type of children. That's what it sounds like.
These things are determined when the child is born already by the shomayim. If the child is good looking,
this is during pregnancy.
This has to be during pregnancy because if she's already breastfeeding, then they're already born. So it has to be talking about during pregnancy. The first part was actually talking about we were talking about earlier before we got into these different stories was about if she's breastfeeding, what's not good for her. Then we got into different things that when she's pregnant, for example, that things she should not eat that are not good for her and things that are good for her that could be good for the children, right? So that was what they was talking about when she's pregnant. Okay? Okay. Barte de Shvul Malka, the daughter of Shvul Malka, achla bat ba'ima etroga. Her mother ate a etrog, would eat etrogs. Vehavu maskela lekame avuan. She would come in front of the father, Beresh Rechane, was the head of the fragrances. So she I guess, came out as a smelling good fragrance, because she would eat etrogs. Amar Ravuna, Bedaklan Ravuna, Ravuna tried to test us, Bar Chinena. He omerit, if she says lahanik, that she wants to breastfeed, v'hu omer shelo lahanik, that her husband says, I don't want you to breastfeed, shomin la. We obviously listen to her, sa'arat didahu, because the suffering comes from her, right? It's her pain. So of course she's allowed. Hu omer lahanik, if he wants her to breastfeed, v'hi omer shelo lahanik, but she does not want to breastfeed, ma'u, what's the din then? So obviously, if it's not the custom of her family to breastfeed, then we listen to her. She obviously does not have to breastfeed. But what if he orcha vehu lav orcha? What if it's her custom, her family's custom, but it's not his family's custom? So my, what's the din then? Butter dide azlina, no butter dida azlina. Do we go after him or do we go after her? Upashid nale, and we learn it out meha from what we said over here. We actually learned this earlier on. That she goes up with him in status, but she does not go down with him in status. I mean, if, let's say, he was holding a very high stature, so she has to go up in that stature and treat him the way he wants to be treated. But she does not go down, meaning if he doesn't want her to breastfeed, her minhag is to breastfeed, she's allowed to choose what she wants to do.
Well, right? Breastfeeding is a higher stature or lower stature?
So it's a good question. I think the answer is that it depends on... It depends on the case, but really over here, what it's saying is that because it's like his custom was, his custom was not to, her custom is to. Okay. So stature of his, if she goes down, that means she is not breastfeeding, right? So over here it's saying, Oleimo, she can go up with him, but she's not go down with him. So she doesn't have to, the way it explains it over here is, really this is talking about the wealth, right? If a person's wealth is at a certain level.
King Shapur is there, and it's their custom, and he marries up. You know what I'm saying? I think it's status of the person. If the status of the man is a high status in the community, and his minhag is to
right, over here, yes, exactly. The way it says over here is that the Gemara is extending this ruling past just the level of wealth, but rather to say that if, let's say, he or she comes from a wealthy family, that the women don't nurse, the wife is not obligated to nurse in that situation, for she rises to the level of his family if they are wealthy and don't nurse, and she doesn't descend to the level of his family if a family is wealthy and does not nurse. So she goes up to that level of the family
but
if they don't nurse.
If she wants to nurse, she can. No, but it's pashut. The Torah Rabbanan started. If you contract a woman to breastfeed, that's the whole premise of the Gemara.
Right. So over here,
contracting a woman, meaning you contract someone because it's the work is beneath you.
Right. So over here is talking. That's talking about someone you're giving. Oh, you're saying like that. You're saying it's beneath. Right. Yeah. So what it sounds like over here is if let's say we're going up in stature and her wealth. Right. So she's going up to his stature.
You contract a woman because it's beneath you.
Right. So she doesn't have to. You're saying she doesn't have to not breastfeed. She can breastfeed if she wants. Is that what you're saying?
If he's of the stature that he contracts people to do work for him, then she can.
Right, but the contracting case, in this case, two different cases, right? Because the contracting case is talking about contracting for another son to breastfeed. Now we're talking about one's own child. One's own child. She says, my family's custom is to breastfeed. He says his family's custom is not.
I thought it was for your own child you're contracting the Tanu Rabbanan.
No. Someone contracted your child to breastfeed. That was a different case. Right? So over here, if his family, if he or she comes from a wealthy family in which they don't breastfeed, so she does not have to breastfeed. That's the explanation, right? Okay? Okay? Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna. Maikra, what's the pasuk we learned this from, right? The pasuk says, it's talking about Elim Avimelech. It says, Vehi be'ulat ba'al. So what does this mean? Vehi be'ulat ba'al. It's talking about Sarah, right? That Avimelech took Sarah, and Hashem came to him and said, "You're going to die because you took a married wife, a married woman." So ba'aliyato shel ba'al v'lo b'yiridato shel ba'al, going up by the husband's status and not going down, right? This is the same explanation. This explanation. She goes up in his status of wealth, but she doesn't have to go down in the status of wealth. So if
how do we derive that?
Because it says be'ulat ba'al, so it's aliyah. It's from the word aliyah.
Oh,
right? Husband aliyah. Okay. Rabbi Elazar says mehacha from here ki hi hayita em kol chay, about Chava. Adam named, right, the husband named his wife Chava. Why? Because she was the mother of all living. So lechaim nitena velo letzar nitena, the woman was given for life and not for tzar, right? Not for given for suffering. So she does not have to suffer, right? It changes the word em kol chay to be im kol chay with an ayin. It can interchange that ayin with an aleph to say that with all of the chay, meaning she ascends to this better lifestyle only to improve it, her spot, but not to deprove her spot, right? That's the explanation. So, lechaim nitena, not for suffering. Okay, now we go back to our Mishnah. Now we get out of all these stories, we go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has talked about the shvachot, right? The amount of maidservants that are given. So, hichnisa lo shivcha, if one shivcha was given, v'chule. So, the Gemara says, ha, she'era, avda. It sounds like, if one shivcha was given, only a few things out of the seven that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the few melachot are done by that shivcha. The rest of them, though, sounds like have to be done by the wife.
Yeah.
So the Gemara then says, "V'teimale, why doesn't she just tell the husband, Ailit lach iteta v'charikai. I gave you another woman in my stead that she'll do all the work." So the Gemara says, "Mishum da'amarla," because the husband will respond, "Hatarcha ledidi ledida," because she is working for me and for her. "Kamedidach mantarach," who's going to be doing the burdens for you? All the things that you know that are in burden in front of you. Meaning, the woman, we know that she can only do these tasks for two people. Well, one woman cannot do these tasks for three people. So therefore, you need someone to be toreach for yourself. Then we said, shtayim, if there's two maidservants, einam mevashelet ve'einam menikah, she doesn't cook, breastfeed, v'chule. Ha she'era avda, but she still does do the rest of them. So v'teimale, why doesn't she say to the husband, Ailit lach a'itata achariti, I've given you another woman, detarcha ledidi ulidida, that is, you know, doing the burdens for me and for her, v'chada, and another one, ledidach ulidida, for you and for her. So why do I need to do any work, right? Mishum da amarla, because he will respond to her, kame orche uparche mantarach. If we have guests that sleep overnight, or someone who passes a passerby, who is going to be toreach for them? Who's going to burden for them? So we need you to be there, to be able to be helping for the guests. If you're listening and recording, don't answer amen. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim HaMelech HaOlam, she'akol ni'am yivaram. Okay, we said shalosh, three, eina mitzat amita. She doesn't have to make the bed. But the Gemara infers, Hasha'era avda, but she still has to do the rest of the rest of the melachot. So v'teimale, why doesn't she just say to the husband, Ailit lecha achariti le'orchei uparchei, I brought you a third maidservant now for the guests and the people who passerbys, right? Why doesn't she just say that? So mishum da'amarla, because he will tell her, Nafish b'nei beita, nafish orchei uparchei. The more people in the house, the more guests and passerbys we will have. And it's true, right? The more children you have, the more friends that they will bring into the home. The more people in the home, the more guests they will bring. So therefore, you need more people. So Gemara says, "Yachi, if that's the case, afilo arba nami. Even four maidservants is not enough either. The more people in the house, the more guests. So arba kevan de nefishe. Since four is a lot, nefishe lehu misayin ahadade. They are going to help one another. The maidservants are going to help one another and complete all the tasks. So then she's allowed to sit on her chair and enjoy freedom."
So from here, the wife could say, "Listen, I'm doing the work of four people." You know,
from when there's four maidservants, we can say these four maidservants are doing it. I don't have to do any work anymore because that's taken care of. Amar Ochana v'itemar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Some say Rav Shmuel lo yichnisa lo mamash. It's not actually bringing in maidservants. Ela kevan she'reuya lehachnis. Even if she is capable of bringing in a maidservant, Rashi says reuya lehachnis. She yichnisa nidunya rabah. She brings in a big nidunya, big thing into the marriage. That's from the father's house for the husband. V'yesh kedei lemevi'a nidunia zol liknot mimiksata shvachot lahachnis ulshamsha. She has enough with this nidunia to be able to buy maidservants, to bring in maidservants to work for them. So not even to bring in, but able to bring in. Af al bisha lo hichnisa, the Gemara says. Even if she didn't actually bring in, she's exempt. So Tana, the Gemara comes to teach, echad shechnisa lo, whether she actually brought in, ve'echad shetzimtzema lo mishala, or if she was mitzamtzem, she scrimped from her own money to be able to buy the maidservant. Either way, both of those work in order to exempt herself. We said in the Mishnah, arba yoshevet bekatedra, four maidservants, she now sits on her chair. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Chananya, Amar Rav Huna, Afal Bisha Amru Yoshevir Katedra, even though they said she can sit on a chair, Aval Mozeged lo kos, umatzad lo hamita, umarchetze lo panav yadav v'raglav. She has to dilute his cup of wine, she has to make his bed, and she has to wash his hands, his face, hands, and feet. Don't tell this to your wives. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Chananya, Amar Rav Huna, kol melachot sha'isha usa labala, nida usa labala. All melachot that a woman does for her husband, a nida has to do for her husband. Chutz, except for mezigat hakos, is allowed to do for her husband, chutz mezigat hagos v'tzat hamita v'rchatzat panav v'davar haglav, which is diluting the cup, making the bed, and washing his face, hands, and feet. Those three things she's not allowed to do when she's nida. So the Gemara says, v'tzat hamita amar avan, making the bed, that's only halacha is lo ameran ela befanav. She's only not allowed to make his bed while he is present. Aval shelo befanav late lamba. But when the man is not present, she's allowed to make the bed. But the other way around is not allowed, right? The husband is not allowed to touch the bed. For the woman, though, it's only while the man is present. While the man is present, she's not allowed to make the bed. But whenever the man is not present, she's allowed to make the bed.
He cannot also make the bed for her neither, right?
Right. That's even when she's not present.
Even. Oh, yeah, even.
Umezigat hakots, and the diluting of the cup. Shmuel mechalfale, devitu biyadad ismana. Okay, so passing over a cup, right? We know that during the days of Nida, a husband and wife are not allowed to hand things to one another. Right? These are halachot in Nida. So what Shmuel would do, his wife would hand him something in an unusual way, in her left hand. Right? I guess nowadays that might not be so much a shinoi, but it could be. But back then, it was like an unusual way. The more kavod ways, you hand it them with the right hand. So you hand them with like an unusual way, the left hand, to make it seem unusual, so they don't come to be a. Abaye manchale apuma de kuba. Abaye's wife, they would place it. She would place it on the jug, on the mouth of the jug, right on the mouth of the jug. Rava ave sadia. Rava, they would place his cup. She would place his cup on the pillow. Rav Papa Ashar Shifa. Rav Papa's wife would place his cup on the stool. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya. Amar Ravuna Hakol Mashin Ifnei Hashamash Chus Mivasar Yain. Okay, it's saying all these things because it's the name of the same rabbi, right? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya. So Amar Ravuna. So he says you're allowed to, if you have a servant who is serving you, a waiter, you're allowed to make him wait, or let's say today a housekeeper, you can make him wait to eat unless there's meat and wine. When there's meat and wine, he's going to be, you know, he's going to want it so badly that it's not healthy for him to be held back from it. You should serve him right away and give it to him. Amar Chisda, Basar Shamen, V'yayin Yashan. It's talking about fat meat and old wine. Amar Rava, Basar Shamen. What's Basar Shamen? Kol HaShana Kula, that's all year round. Yain Yashan. And wine and old wine with Kufa Tammuz. That's talking about in the Kufa of Tammuz, where it's very hot outside and it's very dangerous not to give him when he is craving it. Amar Rav Anan Bar Tachalifa, Havakaimna Kameh de Mor Shmuel. We were standing in front of Mor Shmuel. Va'aitu le tavshila de arde, and they brought in front of him this cooked dish of arde. Rashi says it's a type of mushrooms. Ve'il lav diavli istakani, and if he didn't give me, I would have went into danger in my life. So craving it so badly. Rafapa amar afilu tamarta de hanunita, even if it's a like a fat date, right? Even a fat date, you shouldn't do this. So what? Oh, sorry, did I skip a line? Sorry, I skipped a line. Amar Rav Ashi, Havakaimna Kameda Rav Kahana. We were standing in front of Rav Kahana. Ve'aiti le gargalidei de lifta bichala. The heads of turnips in vinegar. This is what we brought in front of him.
Torshi.
Right, yeah, Torshi. Ve'ilav diavli istakani. And if he didn't bring it to me also, I would have went into danger. Rav Papa Amar Afilu Tamarta Dehanunita. Even if it was big fat dates as well, would be the same thing. Meaning, if someone's craving something, you can bring it in front of him. You don't give him; it could be very dangerous to them. Klala Demilta. This is the general law. Kul Deit LeRecha VeIt LeKayuta. Anything that has a good smell and it brings like flavor to the mouth, so it can cause a person to crave it, you shouldn't hold him back from it. You should give it to him. Avua Bar Ihi Uminamin Bar Ihi. These two brothers, chad safe mikol mina v'mina. One would give the housekeeper, the servant would give from each and every dish. Chad safe michad mina. One would only give from one dish. Right, your housekeeper comes to the table. She wants to get some food. One would give from every dish. What do you want? What do you want? Go to the whole table. One would only give kubide. So what happened? More mishta Eliyahu be'adei, or more lo mishta Eliyahu be'adei. The one who would give from every dish, Eliyahu and Avi would come and be with him. The one who only gave from one, Eliyahu would not be beside him. So you should give. Be generous. Give from every single dish. Hanu tartein chasidei. There were these two chasidim. Ve'amrila. And some say Rav Mari v'Rav Pinchas. Some say that Rav Mari and Rav Pinchas. B'nei Rav Chista, the children of Rav Chista. Mor kadim safei, or mor me'acher safei. So one of them would bring the food in front of the waiter first, and then in front of himself. One of them would bring in front of himself, and only afterwards give it to the waiter. So the kadim safei liyau mishtai ba'adei. The me'acher safei lo mishtai liyau ba'adei. Right? The one who would give first to the waiter, to the housekeeper that wanted food, that Eliyahu Navi would come and be beside him. The one who would only bring the food in front of him first and then give to the waiter, Eliyahu Navi would not be beside him. Right? They say, my father always tells me that in the previous generations, they used to always be so medayek, to be careful to make sure if they had a housekeeper or something, before anyone would eat, they would go and take food into the kitchen, make sure that the housekeeper would have food. So it's really, I hope in this generation also, we try to keep these things as well. It's very important.
Is this Eliyahu was literally talking to these rabbis?
It seems like he came there and there's some type of bracha aspect of him being amongst them. But Rashi says, לפי שהנותן לפניהן, והוא רואה ומתאווה ומצטער בפעמים שיש אורחין הרבה. So he says that there's times when the fiksha noten lifnei, when he gives in front of them, v'hu ro'eh u'mitaveh, he starts to desire that he wants this also, and he start, and the waiter starts to feel bad. U'pamim yesh orchin arben, and sometimes a lot of guests, he doesn't get to take until the end. He's starving, right? So Eliyahu Navi, I guess, came and was beside the person, you know, to bless him for being so generous to make sure that you care about the waiter before yourself. Okay. Amemar umor zutra v'ravashi. These three havu yad ve'apitcha de be'agzur malka. They were sitting by the be'agzur malka. Khalif Azil, yes. Khalif, yeah. Rashi says Shem Melech Paras, Persian king. Khalif veAzil Aturgen Aturnaga de Malka. There was a steward of the king that passed by with food. Chazier Rav Ashi the Morzutra, and Rav Ashi saw Morzutra flipping the Amud. The Chavur Ape, that his face became pale. He really wanted some food. He didn't. He wasn't able to get. It was for the king. Shakal veEtzbaate Anachle bePume. So what did he do? So he took some of the food with his finger and he put it in his mouth. The king's food. Oh, you don't touch the king's food. Amarle ifsad lesudatam de malka. So the steward told him, you just ruined the king's meal. So amrule, they said to him, amai ta avid hachi, why did you do this? Amarlehen, man de avid hachi pasil machal de malka. Someone who does this, they're someone who is pasul, is making the king's food pasul. Meaning, someone who is making this type of meal, it's not fit that the king should even eat from this person's food. Why? So he comes and says, amrule amai, why? Amar lahu, he said to them, "Devar acher chazibe." I saw that he put some pig that had sarat in this food. What pig? Where did you get this from? He just threw like something out there to save himself. So the Gemara comes and says, "Badku v'lo ashkechu." They checked and they didn't find any pig. So shakal itzbaate anachale. He took the chef's finger and he put it on the food like this. And what happened? And it became pig sarat. Amar lehu hachami batkitu, meaning it was a different type of dish. So he said, he put his finger on this food. He said, did you try this food? So they went and checked that food. Batku ashkachu, and they found some pig tzarat. So amru le Rabbanan, and Rabbanan came and asked him, hey, what's going on here? Mai tamasa machta nisa, why are you relying on miracles? We know the Gemara on Masechet Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says you shouldn't rely on miracles. Why are you relying on a miracle here? Amar lehu chazai ruach tzarat de kaparcha ilave. He says, no, I saw a spirit of tzarat that was going on top of the head of Morzutra. Right?
Morzutra, or, this
Morzutra. No, Morzutra, that he ate from the food. So I saw, Rashi says, one second, Parchei Lavei de Morzutra, on the head of Morzutra, right? It was going on top of Morzutra's head. I guess the explanation is, he was so desiring of this food, so I guess it was a sign from heaven.
No, so
it's not that it wasn't kosher. That food really was. Meaning that food, I don't know if it was kosher, but that food didn't have pig in it. He said that, and then it happened to be that the next dish had, right? But I guess the idea is he saw a sign from heaven that this meat had miraculously been made leprous, and that he should make such a claim. So it's not a miracle necessarily, but he had a type of Ruach HaKodesh that he was told this in his head. But it's a good question how he was able to eat from it. If it was a food that came from the king's steward, how was he able to eat from such food? I don't know. It's a good question. Hahuru Ma'a, there was a Roman. The Amar la lahi itetah that said to a woman, min sevatli, marry me. Amra le lo. She said no.
So, Gosha doctors tell their patients go on kosher diets also. Gosha doctors tell their patients go on a kosher diet sometimes.
You're saying
they should. Goyim that are prescribed going on kosher diets.
Okay, but that's the other way around. I'm saying, how is this?
I'm saying I'm justifying Rav Zutra eating from this. Maybe the king was on a kosher diet.
Oh, okay, no, you're saying it's kosher at the end. I'm on the assumption that we don't know if it's kosher or not. So if you don't know if it's kosher or not, what is Rabbi allowed to eat from it? Why did he desire something?
I'm trying to help Marzutra.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I
think he was on a kosher diet.
Marzutra says that he actually put it in his mouth, but he didn't swallow it.
It's still asur. You can't put it in your mouth.
I know, but it's better than he died.
I guess because it was sakana. Maybe because he was mistaken, it was danger of his. When a person is really craving, he could be really in danger. Okay, top. Ahu Roma'a da Amar Lahi Tetami Sevali. Marry me. Amrale, she said to him, no, lo. Azil Aiti Rimane, he brought pomegranates. Pale, he opened them up. Achal Kaman, he would eat in front of her, like juicy, juicy pomegranates on a hot summer day. So, Kol Mayad Tzare La Bealte. So, all of the saliva that was in her mouth that was, you know, like craving up, she would swallow it. And she became sick. And he wouldn't give to her until she became so pale, so clear, like glass, Rashi says. She became so pale and clear like actual glass itself. Okay. Amar la, so he said to her. Sorry, I missed the line. If I give you, you're gonna marry me. Yes, I will. So Azil Aiti Rimana. He went and brought pomegranates. Pale, he opened them up. Achal Kaman, he would eat in front of her again. So Amarla, he said to her, "Kol Mayad Itzarelach Tof Shaddai Tof Shaddai Tof." Like, you know what Tof means? Tof Kwan, but exactly. So the same Tof. So maybe they spoke Persian. So he said, "All the water, all the saliva that's in your mouth, spit it out. Don't keep it in." And she did that. Adin nafka mina ki hutsa di yiruka veitziat, until she spit out like a green type of leaf, like coloring, like a green coloring, and then she became healed to that extent. So she spit it out, and then she became healed. I don't know. Yeah, maybe this was the kiddushin. I'm not sure. Okay. Ve'osa betzemer, and she has to do the weaving with the wool. So betzemer in bepishtim milo, well, only with wool, but not with linen. So matintin mani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, he must be Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Baraita says, eino kofa lo la'amod lifnei aviv. He can't force her to stand in front of the father and serve him. Ve'lo la'amod lifnei bano, or to serve the son. Ve'lo liten teven lifnei behemto, or to serve straw to the animal, because you know that behemot are have a chazakah that they want to sleep with the woman. They might do bi'ah, they might be marbia otam. Aval kofa liten teven lifnei bekaro, but you can force her to give food before the cattle. The cattle are not, we don't assume that they would want to do sleeping with. They're not, Rashi says, a horse or a donkey, they want to have relations. Whereas bakar, cattle, they're not running after reviat isha, sleeping with a woman. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, af eno kofal la asod bepishtan. He can't even force her to work with flax. Because pishtan, flax, would make the mouth smell, umisharbet et asifatayim, and cause the lips to swell. What does weaving have to do with the mouth? So they would, every now and then, they would wet the thread, they would wet it with their saliva. So they would wet it with their saliva, so they would use their lips, so it's not good for the mouth, for the lips. So vehanimile, that's only bikitna ruma'a, with like a flax of Romans. That's what the case was talking about. Rabbi Eliezer omer afi lichnisa lo me'a shvachot, even if you bring in 100 maidservants, the woman still has to work. Amar Rav Malkio says, Amar Rav Ada bar Hava, halacha ke Rabbi Eliezer, halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rav Chanina bered Rav Ika. These are very famous, this is a very famous line. It's in many Masechtot, it's the exact same line. So this is in Masechet Makot, Masechet Beitzah, Masechet Avodah Zarah, Masechet Nidah, Masechet Ketubot. It's all over Shas, it's everywhere. Oh, yeah. Right? So this is Rav Malkio or Malkia. So Shipud, Shvachot, Vegumot or Malkio. These three lessons, Shipud, someone who cooks with skewers on Yom Tov, those skewers afterwards become Mukzeh. Shvachot, our case in our Mishnah. Gumot, when a woman already, she gets two pores that are supposed to bring pubic hairs, even if there's no pubic hair, since there are two pores, we assume there were pubic hairs, and she's an adult. That, those are the opinions of Rav Malkio. Belorit, Efer Mikle Vigvina, Rav Malkia. These three are Rav Malkia. So what are these three? Belorit is the type of haircut that the Goyim would get, right? So the Yehudim, you're not allowed to give that type of haircut even to the Goyim. The Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah that when you get to the certain point where you're about to get to that spot where they like to keep their hair long here and do buzz on the side, you shouldn't go exactly to that extent to give them those, the hair locks that they want. Rather, you should stop short. Right? That's Belorit. Efer Mikle, they used to put Efer, they would take ashes and put it on their wound. And there was a chashash in the Gemara over there in Masechet Avodah Zarah. If that's considered like Avodah Zarah, if that's considered maybe making like a, like a tattoo or something of the sort, anyhow. But the Gemara says not to do that. Ugvina, and eating the cheese of non-Jews, obviously as well, you're not allowed to eat the cheese of non-Jews. These are all the opinions of Rav Malkia. Those six sugyot that I just explained to you in like 1 minute, it takes maybe like six Masechets to explain. Just to understand. Rav Papa says, Matnitin umatnita Rav Malkia. Mishnah and the Braita is Rav Malkia. Shmatita Rav Malkio. But the Shmatita is actually a Rav Malkio. So he differences in how he says it. So the Gemara is going to ask him, meaning the statements that were mentioned of the Amora was by Rav Malkio. So the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference between them? Vesimanach, what is the mnemonic to remember this? Matnita Malkita. Beraita is Malkita, is from Rav Malkia, because they both end in an Aleph, right? Matnita Malkita. So that's the mnemonic to remember, that the Beraitas and the Mishnayot are following Rav Malkia. So the Gemara asks, asks, my Beinayu, what's the difference between these two opinions? First opinion said 3 and 3. Second opinion said, Braitot and Mishnayot are of Malkiya. The Amoraic statements are of Malkiyo. So the Gemara says, Ika Beinayu Shvachot. The difference between them would be our Masechet Shvachot. There's actually in Masechet Makot, there's a Rivan over there. Just again, we have an extra few minutes. There's a Rivan. So in Masechet Makot, when we get there, by Daf Yud Tet Amud Bet, Rashi passes away. So over there, his son-in-law takes over the Rivan. So on Daf Yud Tet Amud Bet, you see it says, now Rashi is Niftar Min HaOlam, Rivan comes and takes over. Now later on in the Masechet, when we get in Masechet Makot Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph over there, they bring this Gemara all the way at the bottom, and then it says the difference between them is Shvachot, and the Rivan comes and adds another case also, not only Shvachot, but anyhow, that was the Rivan's opinion over there. But over here, the Gemara is saying the difference between them would be Shvachot, that Shvachot is actually it's coming to be Masbir Mishnah, it's coming to explain a Mishnah, right? We're coming to explain the Mishnah about Shvachot. So according to Rav, the first opinion that we said, Shvachot goes in the category of Rav Malkiyo, that's only according to the first opinion. But according to the second opinion, it says that no, the Beraitot and the Mishnayot go to like Rav Malkiya, so now it becomes 4 and 2. So it becomes that the Shvachot actually moves from Rav Malkiyo, it goes to Rav Malkiya. That would be the difference between them. Okay, Rashbag Omer, Rashbag says in our Mishnah, Vechulei, right, what did he say in our Mishnah? Does anyone remember? Let's go back to our Mishnah. Rashbag came and said, even someone who takes a vow on his wife from not doing work, give her a ketubah and get out, because betela mevi'a lidei shi'amum. Being sitting nullified and doing nothing brings you to insanity. The previous opinion said, Tanakama said, I think it was Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara refers to as Tanakama, Rabbi Eliezer says it brings you to zima, promiscuity. So the Gemara says, hainu Tanakama. They're essentially saying the same thing. Insanity and promiscuity is one and the same, seemingly. So the Gemara says, Ike Beinayahu, the difference between them, Dimitalela Biguriata Kitnayita. If a woman is playing with small dogs, Vinidar Shir, or playing chess, right? If she's doing either of these things, so she's not going to be going insane because she's keeping herself busy. This is a very important line. Even if you're doing mundane things, but you're keeping yourself busy with work, with something, you won't go insane. But we still worry that maybe she'll go and do promiscuity. So that's the difference. If she's sitting not doing any work for her husband, but she's playing chess, for example, or playing with little dogs, she won't go and be insane, but she may go and do promiscuous acts because she's sitting there bored with nothing to do. That would be the difference between them. Okay, let's do 1 minute quick recap on the daf. Okay, we started the daf on the Amud Bet. We brought a bunch of different stories essentially, but a bunch of different things that are not good for a woman who's breastfeeding to eat, a bunch of different things that are not good for a woman who's pregnant to be eating, or good things for a pregnant woman to be eating. That was part number one. Then we flipped on the Amud Aleph of 61, and we got to the different different sources of whenever she says I do want to breastfeed, or he says I don't want to breastfeed, or the other way around, who do we listen to? We brought different opinions. That was part number two. Part number three was about the Shvachot. We went through all the different Shvachot, when there's one, when there's two, when there's three, when there's four. Why does she need to do work? Why can't she just say let that Shivcha do all the work herself? Because we realized there's more work and more work and more work until you get to four, where they each help one another. And that was part number three. Part number four was the different things that you shouldn't hold back from someone whenever they're craving. When someone is craving something, especially a waiter, they're coming standing there over looking at your food, you shouldn't hold them back from that type of food, because God forbid it can cause a danger to them. That was four. And number five is going on these the wool and the linen aspect, and the end was really going on the different aspects of six cases of Rav Malkiya, Rav Malkiyo, which ones are Rav Malkiyo say, which ones are Rav Malkiya say, all over Shas, different opinions. And we said that in the next opinion said that no, it's really Beraitot and Mishnayot is Rav Malkiya, the Amoraic statement is Rav Malkiyo, and we said the difference between these two opinions would be Shvachot, that Shvachot would go with the Beraitot and Mishnayot, which would make four Rav Malkiya. Okay, we stop there. Baruch Adonai Adam. Amen ve'amen.